Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of men. Well, through and by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Sing it up!
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Great singing. Let's go to a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come this morning, Lord, to be gathered in your house with your people, Lord, and we give you so much thanks and appreciation, Lord, for allowing this church to continue for 7 years. Lord, what a blessing to be able to serve you, develop friendships, Lord, win souls for the last 7 years, to do works for you, Lord, and to just praise you for the great God that you are and the salvation, the great salvation you give us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your presence will be here this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us, teach us. Help us not to be distracted by other things right now. Lord, our hearts and our attention upon you. Please receive our praise, love, and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, 247 is the next hymn. 247. I just want to say thank you to... I understand it to be the ladies and Tim for decorating the building. I mean, it looks so good, so wonderful, colorful. If you don't know how old we are, we're 7. There's a big 7 right there. And I appreciate everyone's service. We've got a sign. I mean, that's come out of nowhere. A sign there from Sister Diane. Really appreciate her and her blessing to this church. We've got a little sign back there if you haven't seen it. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Is that a new clock as well? Did we update our clock? I don't even know anymore. But thank you for everyone that's come to clean the building, organize the chairs out of the extra chairs for our numbers this morning. Unfortunately, there are some that couldn't be with us this morning because of sickness. I mean, maybe it's a good thing because we're running out of chairs very, very quickly. So we give God the thanks most first and foremost for the 7 years that we're celebrating. I hope you guys have a really great service and are blessed this morning. All right, we're going to sing hymn number 247. 247, saved, saved. 247.
I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Life thou is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me, and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
All right, great singing. Let's go to hymn number 143. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. For 143, 143, Blessed Assurance, 143. Keep that volume up. Sounded really good this morning.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. My Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture, now burst on my sight. Descended, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, great singing. I think we'll welcome our first-time visitors right now. So let's start with those that have travelled from Queensland. Brother, do you want to just, some of you guys know this man already in the family, but if there are others, if you don't mind standing up and introducing yourself and your family.
Hi all, Brother Jason, this is my wife Valerie, Samuel is our son. We're from New Life on the sunny coast. Drove down just to wish you guys a happy anniversary. 7 years is awesome. So we're super glad to be here.
Amen. Isn't there a fourth in the family?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, just by the way, we're having another kid.
<That's>, thank you guys. All right. And Brother Michael back there, can you introduce your family, please?
Yes, so my name's Michael. My wife here, Vera, next to me. And then we've got our daughter, Anna, and son, Nikki, up the front. And so good to be here, and happy 7th anniversary as well.
Praise God. Michael's not the first time, but the family definitely is. So let's welcome Michael's family. Bless our family church. All right. I've got someone that's traveled all the way from Chile, South America, to be here. It's my cousin's son. So it's Christian and Sebastian's second cousin. I believe that's how we would term it today. So welcome to Thomas. He's here from Chile to visit us. All right. Actually, Brother Hayden, he lives in your neck of the woods at the moment. So yeah. If you guys, if you need a lift to church, maybe you can offer your services. Potentially, we'll wait and see. But good to have Thomas here as well, first time. Who else is the first time visitor? Did I miss anyone? Oh yeah, Cassia, you brought your friend. So Cassia, if you don't mind introducing your friend. Do you mind introducing your friend to us?
Yeah. Okay. We met in Colt Gabriel. We were, she was my first roommate.
All right.
And right now she's living in Tamworth.
All right.
But she just visited Sydney this week for buying cars. So
all right. Eva, was it? Eva?
Yes.
Eva. All right. Welcome to Eva, first time. What's that?
Got a new baby.
A new baby?
Yeah, it's not. We haven't seen
her. Yeah, I mean, you. Is she first time? No. Anyone else want to mess it up? Do we have anyone else that's first time here that I'm missing? Are you pointing someone?
Second time.
Second time. Well, welcome for your second time. Has anyone been here the third time? 20th time. All right, let's sing our next hymn. Let's take our hymnals. Let's turn to hymn number 261. 261. We'll sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And who can I ask? Ramsey, if you don't mind, do you mind turning off that aircon? It's getting a bit warm in here. We've got a lot of body heat, so we might not need the heaters as much. But 261, we'll sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 261.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more have dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Okay, great singing. Take your Bibles now and turn to Exodus 33. Byron's coming for the reading. Exodus 33.
Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord hath said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are stiff-necked people, I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it come to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone in the tabernacle. And it come to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood up at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And he will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I shew mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's go. go into a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for church today, Lord, and thank you for the anniversary, 7th anniversary, Lord. Please bless the service, and please bless Pastor as he preaches your word, Lord, and help us all have a blessed day and have fellowship with one another, Lord, and help us to love you as best we can, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
I do have water. I do. All right. We're there in Exodus 33 now. For anniversary sermons, you want to preach something that's kind of encouraging. I wanted to get back to basics when it comes to just our service to the Lord. You know, one thing that's always bothered me about Christianity or, you know, the church-going culture or just the way certain people or even the way I have sometimes lived out my Christian faith is that at times, it can feel like you're just going through the motions. At times, it can just feel like, well, you know, I just say a quick prayer before I eat. I say my prayer in the morning. I say my prayer at night. Some of you guys probably don't even pray that much. But, you know, I do my weekly church attendance, and I do my daily Bible reading. I tick the boxes, and I do my weekly soul winning or whatever it is that you see your life as. And at times, I don't know about you, but it can just feel like you're just going through the motions. And one thing about the anniversary, it just allows us to stop and reflect on how God has allowed us to be function as a church for 7 years. And truly, church is about the Lord, and our salvation is all about Jesus. We get no credit for our salvation. It is of no works. It is of no effort except to simply trust what Jesus did for us. You know, God gets all the glory, and you know, I want to make sure that this anniversary, we just again remember the Lord God, who isn't just this external force that exists out there in the universe somewhere, but is a real personable being that wants to know us, that truly loves us, that wants to walk with us and talk with us. And I want to sort of challenge you this morning to ask you, how is your Christianity? How is your faith? Is it just ticking the boxes? It has been in my life. Maybe it is in your life sometimes. Or is it a true walk with the Lord, a true friendship with the Lord? Look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33 and verse number 7. It says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." All right, so this tabernacle that Moses sets up, this isn't the tabernacle as we know the tabernacle. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, all that processes, the sacrifices. This is like a precursor. This is before that tabernacle that we know. You know, the word tabernacle kind of just means the word tent. It's how we would think of a tent. It's a temporary location. But this kind of, you know, as a precursor to the main tabernacle that they would eventually build, Moses set this up, and he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And so this isn't just a tabernacle for him. This is for the congregation. And, you know, just very quickly, when we talk about the congregation, I'm going to read to you quickly from Psalm 22:22. Don't need to turn there, but Psalm 22:22 says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. That's Psalm 22:22. That psalm gets repeated in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, which I'll just read to you as well. Hebrews 2:12 says, "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." And so when the Old Testament speaks of the congregation of the Lord, or the tabernacle of the congregation, we would apply that in the New Testament and speak about the church. And so this morning we're here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You could call this the tabernacle of the congregation. And so Moses sets this tabernacle up, this temporary location, and it's a place to come and seek the Lord. And it says in verse number 8 there in Exodus 33, verse number 8, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." So Moses enters the tabernacle, right? And then what happens? Verse number 9. "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Why is it that we come to the tabernacle of the congregation this morning? Why is it that we come to the house of the Lord? Well, ideally, I hope this is where your heart is. You want to hear from the Lord. You want the Lord God to talk to you. Now, I'm not the Lord God. I'm doing a lot of talking, but I am not the Lord God. In many ways, I might picture Moses in this story. And so the Lord God will use men to stand up and to proclaim God's word, to teach out of the scriptures. But what we read out of the scriptures, brethren, is God talking with you. You know, God wants to talk with you. God wants to know you. God wants to be your friend. And so Moses is in there talking with God. And it says in verse number 10, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." So you see, when Moses enters the tabernacle, the pillar of the Lord's glory is there. God's presence is there in the tabernacle of the congregation. And we know what Jesus Christ says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. You know, one reality about this morning is that Lord God, he's here right now. I don't see the cloudy pillar, I guess. But I know by God's promise, by the promise of Jesus, his presence is here with us this morning. You know, you could say that one of these empty seats, maybe Jesus is there sitting there. And he's amongst us, and he's very present with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to fellowship with us. And what we see with the congregation of Israel at this point in time is they all stand at their tents. I mean, there's so many of them. They can't all enter the tabernacle, okay? But they all stand there and they worship. They worship the Lord. And that's a good thing. Like, what these people are doing is the right thing. They've come to worship the Lord. But look what it says in verse number 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." The Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. You know, the Lord would look at Moses, and to the Lord, Moses was his friend. His friend. He spoke to him face to face as his friend. And then not only that, when Moses is finished talking to God, he leaves. But we have Joshua. We know who Joshua is. He would lead the nation into the land of promise. Joshua hangs around. He says, "I've not had enough of God," right? I mean, if Moses is a friend to God, he's like, "I want to be God's friend too." Okay, so the title for the sermon this morning is, "Be a friend to God." Be a friend to God. And you know, in this story, we have a few characters. We have Moses. Moses clearly is a friend to God. All right? Moses definitely is intimate with God, speaks with God, talks with God. God's presence is happy to be there with Moses. So we have Moses, the friend of God. We have Joshua, who's seeking to develop his friendship with God, wants to be with God longer, right? Wants to get to know God more. And then we have the rest of the congregation that are doing the right thing. They've come to worship the Lord, but they're not referred to as a friend of God. They're not referred to as people that are there literally in the midst of the pillar of his cloud. They're doing the right thing. They're worshiping God, brethren, but they haven't really developed that friendship with God. And so my question to you is, are you a friend to God this morning? Do you want, you know, are you Moses? Are you like Moses? You go, "Man, Pastor, I am a friend to God. I know, man. I am his. We are buddies. We stick to one another like glue." You know, I find when you might say that you're Joshua. "Well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm really considered, I don't know if God will really consider me his friend, but I want more of the Lord. I want to develop that friendship. You know, I want more of his presence in my life." Maybe that's you this morning. Or you might be like the congregation. That's doing the right thing. You've come to worship the Lord. You know, but my fear is that sometimes we just go for those motions. We come to worship the Lord. We tick the box. We went to church this morning. You know, but are you really close to the Lord? You know, is it just a religious practice, just a religious ritual to you? Or do you truly see God as a friend to you, someone that is closer than a brother? You know, how do you see God in your life? So be a friend to God. You know, the vast majority of Christians will come to worship the Lord, but are not really God's friends. You know, when you consider the Bible, how many individuals are called God's friends? You got Moses, you can see here. And the other one that's more well known is Abraham. Now, I'm not saying there aren't other characters that were friends to God. You know, when I think of someone like Enoch, the Bible says that he walked with God, and they were so close that God took him. It's like, man, let's continue our friendship in heaven. Like, there are obviously people that are super close with the Lord God. I'm not saying that there aren't others that are friends, but, you know, when it comes to the Bible just saying these are his friends, it's pretty much Moses and Abraham. You know, those that develop a close friendship with God are usually the very few. Okay, the vast majority of the congregation will worship God, but will not necessarily develop a close walk or a close friendship with God. And so what I would love for this church, in fact, what gave me great joy this morning is just to see everybody chatting, getting along, having a great time. And I can see that there are definitely friendships in this church, and I encourage to foster those friendships. And I see that, and so I say, you know what, let's also make God our friend. Let's, you know, I want God to look down and say, you know what, everybody here at Blessed Up Baptist, they are my friend. You know, I consider them my friend. They're close to me. And so I really want to challenge you this morning to foster your friendship with God. I want God to look at me and say, that's my friend. Have I always been the best friend to God? No. You know, I am not always faithful, but he is always faithful to me. I'm not always the best friend, but he is always a best friend to me. Okay, so the friendship doesn't, you know, God never fails at the friendship. He's good and ready. He is already our best friend. But how good of a friend are you back to him? Okay, can you come with me to James chapter 2, please? James chapter 2. Like I said, the vast majority are happy to worship God at a distance, and that's good enough for them, right? I've ticked the box, I've done what I need to do, but how many of you really want to be in that pillar with the Lord God, close, talking to him face to face? James chapter 2 and verse number 21. James chapter 2, verse number 21. The Bible reads, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, let me read verse 22 again. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And so look, when it comes to our faith, you know, Abraham, I mean, if you get confused by this, read Romans 4. It's very clear that it's faith that justifies us with God. Faith alone and not of works. We understand that salvation is by faith alone, not of works. I don't want to cover that this morning. That's very clear. We teach that on a regular basis. In fact, we taught that yesterday. Many of us went soul winning. We make sure that people understand that it's our faith alone or what Christ has done that saves us, not our works. But you know what? In order for us to develop a friendship with God, we need the works. Faith brings us into a relationship. Our Heavenly Father, we're born into God's family. You're born again the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are made a child of God. We're all children of God. But are you a friend to God? You know, in order for you to develop that friendship, or what made Abraham, or what fulfilled or made Abraham that friend to God, was when he came and he was willing to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice to, you know, willing to give up the life of his son, his promised son that he was willing to, you know, wait for so long. And it's by those works that we read in the Bible that he was justified by those works. Meaning his faith was just, like, it's just for him to do those works. Because he has his faith in the Lord, it's just, it's proper, it's right for him to say, you know what, I'm willing to lay down my son and by faith offer him up as a sacrifice. I mean, that's a great work of faith right there in Abraham. And as he completed that, God looked down at Abraham and said, that's my friend, that is willing to be so sacrificial, that is willing to add the works to his faith, is willing to do something that pleases me. You say, Pastor, how would that please God? Well, of course, God never wanted Isaac to be sacrificed, literally killed, but it was to be a picture, a shadow that God the Father would sacrifice his son in our place. I mean, that is the great love of God, is it not? That the Father would sacrifice his only begotten son in the place of filthy sinners to die for us, to pay for our sins. I mean, that's the great love of God. Well, Abraham, by willing to obey God and lay down the life of his son, pictured the love of God, and he pictured his love for God, that he would be called the friend of God. This guy is my friend. Wow. He's sacrificial. You know, friendships in general requires a bit of sacrifice. Can you come with me to Isaiah 41? Come with me to Isaiah 41. You know, I don't know. I mean, I look at this congregation and I have a very low standard of what a friend is. Like, if we just talk, you're my friend. If you come to church, you're my friend. Like, maybe I need better friends. I don't know. I don't know. Like, if I think, okay, who's my best friend? You know, who's the person that I can talk to about anything and be very close? I think of my wife, really. Christina's probably my one good, true, best friend is my wife. Okay, but everybody else, I think of, as people say, oh, that's my acquaintance. I'm like, yes, I would consider that my friend. I don't know. You know, So I look at this congregation and I think of you as my friend. And one reason I'm not trying to boast or anything. One reason I'm willing to travel every week to be here at this church is friendships require sacrifice. It requires a sacrifice of time and effort and energy, right? When you look at Isaiah 41, look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, look at verse number 7. Like, friendships, like I said, it requires time and to get to know each other, to give and to support and to encourage. And when your brother's cast down, to lift them up and say, hey, I've got your back, I'm praying for you. Let me know what I can do to help you. That's what I think of a friend, right? When I, you know, it's not just me coming here and but it's you being here this morning to support this church, to support this ministry. You know, your time and your effort to come on a cold morning. And sometimes Thursdays are not easy to come. Those that come on Thursday, I really appreciate the sacrifice, the effort. You know, this is friendship and encouragement and support. It requires time, effort, energy, right, to develop friendships. Look at Isaiah 41, verse number 7. It says, so the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he smoothed with the hammer that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Now, verse number 7 kind of sounds like a positive thing, but it's a negative thing. Okay, you got the carpenter encouraging goldsmith. These are men that are encouraging one another to set up idols, false gods, okay, in the land of Judah. And this is happening amongst God's people. They're setting up false idols, false gods. They're worshipping false gods. But that's not what God expects from us. Look at verse number 8. He says, but thou, Israel, art my servant. I want you to look at those words. God is saying these words about Israel. Thou art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. My friend. You know, God is saying, Abraham, my friend, and the physical seed of my friend is worshipping false gods. Like the closeness that I had with Abraham, the promise that I made to Abraham, and to see his physical people now turning against the friend of their fathers, worshipping false gods. Verse number 9 says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. We look at God's faithfulness to his friend and to the descendants of his friends, right? God says, look, I'm not willing to just cast you away. You know, God gave Israel time, time and time, and generations after generations to turn their hearts back to the friend of Abraham. You know, God was very faithful to that nation, even though they were so wicked. And what we see is because he's thinking of his friend Abraham, right? Probably thinking of his friend Moses. These people that I have used so mightily, that have been so close to me. You know, God is such a good God. He's such a good friend. And we think about when we sin against him and, you know, his long-suffering, his mercy, you know, even his loving chastisement, which is for our profit. I mean, there is no better friend than God. And even in the state where this nation is wanting to worship false gods, God is still trying to reach out to them and says, look, I'm not willing to cast you away just yet. You know, you're the physical descendants of my friend Abraham. There's a few words that I want you to notice there, you know, that he calls Israel his servant and that he has chosen. It's Jacob whom I have chosen. I want you to just think about those words there, because now I want to take you to the New Testament. Come with me to the New Testament in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. So there are three places that we have, there are three places in the Bible that Abraham is called a friend to God. It's what we just read in Isaiah 41. It's what we read in James chapter 2. It's also found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You can look at that in your own time. All right? But I want to show you now John chapter 15. Because the question will be, well, Pastor, how? Like, what is it that made these men friends of God? How can I be a friend to God? God is such a good friend to me. And, you know, I want to be like that too. You know, one of the most hurtful things in life is when you show yourself friendly to somebody. Maybe you've all been there. You know, we've all probably experienced this at times in our lives, unless you're very young. But, you know, you give your time and your love and your attention to certain people that you would say, this is my friend. But I call these people sometimes, I'm referring to as black hole friends. Like all the love, all the everything you try to send their way and show yourself friendly just gets sucked into this black hole. And so it's like nothing, there's nothing coming in return, right? And I think about, man, Israel was like this black hole friend to God, right? And they're just sucking all of God's energy and God's mercy and God's long suffering. At some point, all right, you don't want all that, you can have my wrath, right? You can have my judgment. And God would so many times judge the nation of Israel. I don't want to be that kind of friend to God where he's so good to me. He blesses me. He answers my prayers. He sees my sin, but he holds back and, you know, says, hey, I'll give him time to sort that out, you know, and only to be this black hole, you know, where it just all gets just sucked in. It's like, what am I giving back to God, you know? Am I a friend to God? Am I blessing him in return? Does he look down and say, boy, you know, that Kevin, man, makes me happy. He encourages me. You know, is that how God looks at me? Is that how God looks at you? I'm not sure. But you know what? The answer to being a friend to God is not complicated. I'm coming back to essentially the milk of God's word or the basics of the Christian faith. You know, again, we don't want these basic things that we do to be just going through the motions. We want them to be about serving and caring for our friend, the Lord God. Look at John 15. John 15, verse number 12. John 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. All right, so we're standing there. God's given us a commandment that we ought to love one another, which is what gave me great joy seeing this morning, everyone chatting and having a good time. I can definitely see this is a church that loves one another. And then the Lord says in verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, who laid down his life for his friends? Jesus. Jesus is the Lord God. He says, there's no greater love than this. He goes, I can't love you any more than I've already loved you. Because Jesus came and he laid down his life for us. Boy, you know what? That means he's our friend. Jesus, look, I'm your friend. I love you so much. I don't want you going to hell. I don't want you having an eternity of suffering and torments because of your sin. Because I'm going to be such a friend. I'm going to give you all of my love. There's no greater love than this. And I'm going to die for you. I'm going to lay down my life for my friends. See, Jesus is the greatest example, or the best example of the greatest of all friends. But again, that question is, are we a friend to him? You know, and as I said, being a friend requires sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed it all. Everything. There's nothing left to sacrifice for God to die in our place and to give us a home in heaven. I mean, what more? What, you know, I don't know how, I don't know if I said this at New Life or at Blessed Hope anymore. Everything's a blur. But I just don't know how we get mad at God, you know, because our life can fall apart and whatever. And things don't go our way all the time. And we can sometimes get upset and angry. I was like, but he died for you. It's like, man, you're going to heaven. Like, this is just a vapor. You know, life is here a moment. It's gone the next. We don't even know if we're going to see this afternoon. We could be driving home after church and car accident, and that's the end of your life. I don't want to live a life where I'm upset with my best friend who died for me. He's done so much for me. He's blessed me so much. And he continues to, like, if you've lived a Christian life long enough, you know that God has blessed you beyond just salvation. Amen. Salvation is like step one. It's like, man, you've done everything for me, God. And God's like, there's more blessings. Here's more. Here are here, answered prayers. And, you know, he loves us so much. He's such a great friend. But I get emotional thinking about it. I don't think I'm the best friend to God. I don't think I'm the best, all right? So Jesus then tells us how we can be his friends in return. In verse number 14, he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ah, okay, Jesus. He says, you are my friends. It's like this given. You should be. Like, he wants our friendship. But there's a condition. If you do whatsoever I command you. He just commanded us that we are to love one another as I have loved you. That's a high, high, high standard. You know, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's keep going. So let's see what God's going to command of us. Let's see what Christ will command of us. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Remember what we read in Isaiah 40, 41? When God calls Israel his servant. Well, Jesus says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All right? So, a servant doesn't know what the master is up to. It's kind of like, you know, if you're like a low-level employee in a business, you may not know what the CEO is planning for the business over the next 6 to 12 months. But the more of a, like, if you're a friend to the CEO, you may not even have to work in that company, but is your friend, you know, your personal friend will say to you, you know what, this is what I'm thinking about doing with my business over the next 6 to 12 months. And he might even say to you, what do you think, friend? You know, what's your opinion on my plans for the business over the next 6 to 12 months? Jesus says, you know what? You're more than a servant. You're my friends. And, you know, and this is why he makes known to us the things that the Father has given him. He's given us his word. He's given us the scriptures. There are a few things that we're learning so far about friendships. Well, let's continue. I'll give you those points. Let's continue. Verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's what he said about Israel of the old covenant. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. There it is again. Okay? So when we look at this passage, sandwiched between the commandment, that I have loved you, love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another, sandwiched between these things, these commandments, main commandments, are some other commandments, some other things that we can also take from here to develop our friendship with Jesus, that we can be a better friend to God. You know, the first thing that we learn, come with me to Matthew 16. The first thing that we learn to that passage is that a friend lays down his life. There's no greater love than for someone to lay down their life for their friends. And so, as I said, friendship is, it takes effort. It takes effort to be a friend. It requires sacrifice. Matthew 16:24. You say, but am I supposed to die like Jesus died? And I always say, you can't die for my sins and I can't die for your sins. But we can still be very sacrificial with our lives and the time that God has given us. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So Christ gave up his life, but we're also commanded to lose our lives, symbolically taking up our cross. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He gave up sacrificially his life. Well, in our walk with the Lord, he wants us to take up our cross. He wants us to be sacrificial, okay? And he says he wants us to follow him. I mean, isn't that what a friend wants? To hang around, spend time together? I mean, that's how you develop a better friendship. And coming to church is awesome because we get to spend time, not just to worship God, but we get to spend time together. Church is a great place to foster friendships, especially with God's people. No, I mean, there are friends that we may have in this world that are unsaved or might even be a bad influence to your life. You know, a good place to develop friendships is definitely church because we have in common the love of God. We have the blood of Christ that saves us. But notice what in verse 25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you say to God, God, I don't want to be sacrificial. I don't want to lay down my life. I don't want to follow you. I want to save my life. I want to do what I want. He says you'll lose your life. You know, you're not going to get those rewards that God wants to give you. You're not going to live the life, the abundant joy and love of life that God wants you to experience. You can live your own life. No, I'm not doing anything for you, Lord. Thanks for dying for me, but I'm just seeking my own will. No, he says you need to lose your life. You say, all the plans, all my desires, all my selfish will. You know what, Lord? I'm willing to lose it all, and I'm going to come and follow you. Because God tells us that's where we find our life. There's great joy, great abundance in serving the Lord. I mean, what a great friend to have. Normally a friend likes to share. I mean, God has everything. You know, I want to be a friend to God. God, what do you have to share? What do you own, Lord? Let's have a great time. It's like the Lord says, I own everything. Everything is mine. That's a great friend. Oh, man, that's a good friend to have. But it requires us to lay down our lives and follow after him. You see, to be a good friend to God requires you to be sacrificial. Come with me to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. We don't want to be like I'll be more politically correct. We don't want to be like some Filipinos that during Easter beat themselves with whips and literally carry a cross and get crucified. Literally crucified on a cross. And think by doing this, I'm closer to God or something. And sometimes these people have died from their injuries. That's not the kind of sacrifice I'm talking about here. Hope no one walks away and goes, man, I'm going to die now. No. Look, Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. God said, I'm not asking too much from you. You know, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. Is your life acceptable to Him? Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now again, you do your own self-examination. When someone looks at your life, do they say, boy, this person is holy? This person, holy means separate. Different from the world. Do they say that about you? This is someone that is accepted by God. I can see that God would want to be in His presence. Or are you conformed to this world? When someone looks at your life, they're like, I mean, it's just, I can't tell the difference. He's just like everybody else. He's out partying just like the world. He's out clubbing just like the world. He's getting drunk just like the world. He's laughing at all the dirty jokes just like the world. He's out looking with lust in his eyes, pornography or whatever, just like the world. Which one are you? Because I want to be a friend to God, and to be a friend, I have to be acceptable to Him. He has to look down and say, I accept that man. I accept that woman. I want to be friends with that person. That guy's a good friend to me. So you need to lay down your life. You need to be sacrificial. I mean, we do that with our friends that we care about. You know, we see our friends in need. We go and support them. How about your friendship with God? How well are you doing with the Lord God? Are you presenting your body as a living sacrifice? The other thing that we learnt from Jesus about his friendship, he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Therefore, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus says, look, you're my friends. Everything I have, all the wisdom of the Father. These are the scriptures here right now. We have more than the disciples did, by the way. We have even more from the Father. Jesus says, I want to tell you. Here, this is what friends do. We communicate. The Lord Jesus wants to advise us, counsel us, direct us, give us great wisdom and understanding. Think of a friend you may have. Or no, you're the friend, right? You see your friend going through hardships, suffering, and you have the answer that will help them. You have the solution. And because you're a friend, you love that person, right? Man, I need to get a hold of my friend, and I've got the method for them to get out of their misery and their woes. You bring up your friend, let me catch up, brother. Let's go out for a coffee. You go out with a coffee, you know, with them, and you're like, brother, man, my friend, I see you suffering. Here's some advice, because I love you. Are you willing to hear it? And they're like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I'm not interested. You'd say, what kind of friend are you? In return, I don't want to hear what you have to say, friend. Now, here's the problem with men, is that our advice is not always the best. We just give out what we think is the best. But God's advice is always the best. There's nothing better than this. There's nothing better than His Word. So, I don't know. What kind of friend are you to God? You know, you may not like me this morning. I hope you like me, but you may not like me. But I hope you like His words. Amen. So you can bypass the man, the preacher, and just say, okay, Lord, the words that you're speaking to me this morning, am I listening? Am I paying attention to what you have to say to me, God? Or am I just, I can't wait to get out of church service this morning? Man, what's for lunch at Rache's, Pastor Kevin? I don't know. That's for you to judge yourselves, right? I hope. You know, but a friend will listen, right? When Jesus speaks, if you're a friend to God, God, tell me what you have to say. And then a friend went, Lord, you're right, Lord, you're right. I do need to change that. Boy, I need to receive that wisdom. I would say, I'm confident to say most believers, most saved people, most Christians have never read the Bible cover to cover. Have never. The minority, it's always the minority that has read this cover to cover. And even though, and let's get a little bit more closer to home, sometimes we read our Bibles cover to cover. Maybe your plan is to read the Bible twice cover to cover in 1 year or something like that. But how much have you truly absorbed? I'm concerned about just going through the motions. I've done my chapter. 15 minutes, okay, yeah, that'll get me through the Bible. Okay, I've done it. Yeah, okay, whatever, whatever. Okay, I've done it. No, this is God speaking to you. You know, you're having coffee with your friend, you're pouring out your heart to them because you want to help them, and they're just on their phones, right? Well, oh, whatever. Oh, yeah. So they don't care. You don't care what I have to say. Boy, I've been there, brethren. I've done it. I've done my chapters, and I'm like, what did I just read? I don't even know what I just read. Because I wasn't focused. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't considering that God is a real person with real emotions, with a real love for me, that wants to know me and wants me to know him better. I just think, it's just a religious thing, right? Just my chapter done. All right, tick the box. Next step, church on Sunday. Right? No, there's more to it. God is real. God's a friend. How good of a friend are you to God? He continues in verse number 16, John 15, 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go, that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Thank you to those that went soul winning yesterday. We brought forth fruit, didn't we? Five fruits. Doesn't sound right. Five fishes. I like Michael's. Five fish. We had one salvation at New Life as well. And sometimes our friends in other states are out there. Man, you guys probably seen Brother Martin, and he's out there pretty much every week, right? Preaching the gospel, seeing souls saved. That's what a friend does. Goes out there and tells this lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. That's a very friendly thing to do. Not only friendly to the lost and dying world, but friendly to God that you've done this for the entire world. You laid down your life for the whole world. But I'm not willing to tell this world what you've done for them. Boy. Now, I want to be a good friend. I want to tell this world about Jesus. I want to tell this world how to be saved, so they too, hopefully, can become a friend to God. But soul winning, these things are basic things, are they not? Taking up your cross, following him. Not my will, but thy will be done. Learning God's word, opening the Bible, meditating on God's word, listening to God. Basic truths, basic principles of the Christian faith. Soul winning, giving people the gospel. At whatever opportunity God presents, that I'm ready. Basic things. But again, all of these things can just be going through the motions. I've done my hour of soul winning, tick. I've done my hour of read, Bible reading, tick. Just don't let it just be a... Let's not be like the Catholics or something like this, right? Where we just... Amen. What does the Catholics do? All right, kneel, stand. Kneel, stand, amen, our Father, Hail Mary, I don't know, what, any form of Catholics, is that what you do? It's kind of like that. I don't want our religion to be like that though, where we're just doing the same thing again, and the same basic prayer in the morning, Lord bless me today, amen, or something like just, we're talking to God, my friend. My friend. And then he says in verse number 16, and whatsoever ye ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Prayer. Basic things. When we pray, when we read the Bible, God speaks to us. When we pray, we speak to God. What's your prayer life like? Jesus says he wants us to ask of his Father. How much more would God answer our prayers in such a powerful way, if he looks down and says, boy, I just got a prayer request from my son's friend. Rather than, oh, that's the guy that's been ignoring my son for the last 10 years of his life, doing his own will. Now look, we're all children of God. We can all go to God in prayer. But how much more would God be like, yeah, you're my friend. Of course I'm going to answer your prayers. Yeah. Isn't that true? Like if there's two people that have needs, one person hates me and one person is my friend, I'm more likely to want to go and support my friend. But we're supposed to love our enemies anyway. Because that's what God does. But boy, our prayer life. What's your prayer life like? Are you just going for the most? I've done the same thing. I'll be honest, transparent. I'm guilty of all these things becoming just something that you do and you go for the motions. All right, got to pray in the morning. Pray, Lord, yeah, Lord, bless me today. Food, all right, Lord, bless the food to our bodies. Amen. And, all right. And just forget. I'm just saying. I'm just the vain repetition that we blame other religions of doing can become our prayers, these vain repetitions. I mean, like, if we have a chat and I'm just saying the same thing to you every single week, like verbatim, just verbatim the same thing. How are you, Pastor Kevin? Doing good, feeling tired, see you later. Like every single week, you'd be like, how do we develop friendship like this? God wants to talk to us. He wants to hear from us. When we pray, we're praying, we're speaking to the most amazing divine being who loves us. He wants to be our friend. What kind of friend are you in return? Your prayer life can be something you just go through the motions. But truly, we're speaking to the creator of the universe. Then he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. In verse number 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus loved us so much that he laid down his life for his friends. So if we're going to love one another, doesn't that mean we need to develop friendships as well? That we need to be friends, brethren? Not just, that's my church colleague. I see them at church sometimes, but I don't really get along with them. We're meant to be friends. If we want to be friends to God, we need to be friends too. Come with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25. I want to be your friend, by the way. I'm sorry if I'm too busy. It's just life. Big family. Many churches. Crazy sometimes. In some ways, I would rather not be the pastor and just be regular Brother Kevin so I can be a better friend. But Matthew 25, please, Matthew 25. You know, loving one another requires us to fellowship, spend time together, get to know one another, care for one another, pray for one another. You know, sometimes when you go through the motions, like I said, we got to church. All right, tick the box. I'm at church, worshipped God like the majority of the congregation. And then I'm out. Don't have time to talk. Don't have time to fellowship. In fact, I didn't even have time. I got to go soul winning. I don't have time to love my brethren. All of these things are important. All of this makes us a friend to God. God looks down because he died for all of us. He says, how well is Kevin being a friend to these brethren here at church? Because if he's treating my friends well, then he's a good friend to me. If he's treating my children well, then I'm going to, boy, how much more am I going to answer his prayers? Matthew 25, you guys know this story. These are all basic things. You know this. You know this. This is like the most basic things of Christianity, everything that we've looked at. But I want you to just truly understand it, that God wants it to be real to us. Matthew 25, 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And, you know, these are essentially the words of Jesus. He says, "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink." You know, if we see our friends hungry and thirsty, if we're a true friend, aren't we going to feed them? "Hey, brother, I'll buy you a quarter pounder." Or, "Come over, and we've got a spare plate on the table for you," or something like this, right? It says here, "I was a stranger, and ye took me in." Thank you, Brother Ash, for taking in the Nosek family. You got some strangers visiting from Queensland? Even up in the midst of State of Origin. Not bad. Not bad. It's, "I'll take in these Queenslanders." All right, good. Verse number 36, "Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." What if one of our brethren here are in prison? What would we do? If I know churches and Christians, man, that I know that I'd be like, "I just deserves to be there. Rot in prison." Is that what a friend does? Let's say, I don't know, who can I pick on now? Tim, thank you, Tim. Let's say Tim robs a bank, gets arrested, thrown in prison, 5 years. He deserves it. He does. He deserves to be in prison. I don't know, Tim, bad decision. But if I'm going to be a good friend to him, and we're not going to visit him, oh, we're just going to gossip about him at church every single week. "Can you believe that, Tim?" Whatever it is, right? Oh, a friend would be like, "Man, yeah." Even when we make mistakes, even when we find ourselves really... You can go to prison for the wrong or right reasons, but even for the wrong reasons, you know, someone messes up their life. I don't know why. I don't know why there's so much holier than thou's in the Christian world. I hate it. "Oh, I would never do that. I would never raise my kids that way. I would never have my family like this. I wouldn't drive that car." It's like, "I wouldn't rent. I would just buy a house." It's like, shut up. Holier than thou's. Be a friend. You know? People in prison. He visits them. Verse number 37, "And shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." I can't physically give Jesus a cup of water. Say, "Jesus, you're thirsty?" You know? I can't do that. "Jesus, you just wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting. Lord, come to my house, I'll feed you. We'll take care of you. I was not there 2,000 years ago." I would love to do that to Jesus. But I can. That's the thing. I can do it to Jesus. If I do it even to the least of these, my brethren. You don't have to be the most pronounced Christian, the least of the believers. The one that hasn't done much, or the one that's been saved the least amount of time. If I show you friendliness and kindness, I do it to Jesus Christ. I'm being friendly to Jesus, loving one another as Christ has loved us. All right, brethren, in conclusion, be a friend to God. Are you a friend to God this morning? I have a lot to work on, I'll be honest with you, okay? And I think unless you're holier than thou, you're probably going to say the same thing. I can be a better friend to my Lord God. Or maybe I can start being a friend to God. Maybe church and my Christian walk has just been going through the motions. All right, let me give you those 5 points once again in conclusion. Number one, be a living sacrifice. God's will, right? Not your own. Number two, read and learn the Bible. Read it all. Don't ignore what God has to say to you. Number three, win souls. Bear fruit. Number four, speak to God in prayer. God wants to hear from you. Don't let it be some vain repetition. Speak to him as though you're speaking to your friend. And number five, love the brethren. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning once again. Thank you that we can be here in the tabernacle of the congregation. And Lord, just as Moses got to experience the pillar of cloud of your presence, Lord, I pray that we would feel and know your presence here this morning, Lord. We love you. Thank you for being such a great friend and so faithful, so true, Lord, for sending Jesus to die in our place, laying down the life of your Son. Lord, that shows your great friendship to us. And Lord, I pray you'd challenge us this morning, Lord. Help us to be a better friend to you. Help us to serve you faithfully, Lord, these basic principles of Christian life, that we would truly do it from the bottom of our hearts, of friendship towards you. Lord, it's our reasonable service, Lord, to seek your ways and to live a life that honors and loves you. So we come this morning, Lord, as a needy people. Help us to be better friends to you, to your Son, better friends to one another here, Lord, amongst the congregation. And we commit this day to you, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you'd please give us another 7 years, Lord, that we can celebrate our 14-year anniversary, Lord, in the near future. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals. Let's turn to hymn number 355, please. Hymn number 355. What a friend we have in Jesus. 355. What a friend we have in Jesus. I hope God can say, what a friend I have in Kevin. I don't know. I hope God can say that about you. But I can definitely say, what a friend we have in Jesus. 355, please. 355.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee.
Any birthdays? Well, let's say happy birthday to Blessed Our Baptist Church. Happy birthday, church! Any wedding anniversaries or anything special like that? No. When's our next soul win, brother? All right, in 2 weeks, Brother Ash will give us an update when the next Soul Winning Marathon will take place. Be there, and don't go through the motions. Okay, go and serve your friend, the Lord God. And also, coming up at the end of July will be a missions trip to Fiji. So if you're still interested, it's not too late. Let us know if you'd like to go to Fiji and reach those people with the gospel. I have found we're going to the city of Nadi, so that's the main airport that we land in when you're traveling internationally.
And I have found a local church and pastor there that we can point new converts to. So I forget the church name right now, but I'll let you guys know the details. If you're able to go, let me know. There are some funds. So if it's a bit expensive and you need some help financially, let me know, because we might be able to help you out with some funds that were given for the missions trip. All right. So anyway, if you can't go, please keep that missions trip in prayer. All right. Anything else important, brethren? Brother Tim? Yep.
Yeah, just wanted to announce. Shalene's pregnant again. Yeah. Woo!
Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, and we have trivia activity at Rashay's.
Yes. Do we have pens? Yeah, I think we've got pens back there. If someone did not bring a pen...
I brought like seven pens.
I think we have some pens somewhere in this building. Maybe even inside the desk there, potentially. All right, don't forget that we have a lunch after service. If you're able to hang around, it'd be great. We're going to Rashay's. We're going to support that Islamic... There's no bacon. There's no sausages. There's no ham. What else does pig do? What else does pig make? There's none of that. Sorry, guys.
Huh?
No dog. No, well, yeah, okay. No dog. But anyway, pretty good food. Come out. It's on the church. If you're able to have lunch with us, it'd be great to have fellowship with you. I'm thinking about other things, but I can't think right now. I had a whole bunch of announcements in my head. I should have written them down. Crown Baptist Church. Yes, I might as well make that known. So Brother Anthony, if you guys know that, unfortunately they can't be here, they're not feeling well, but we would like Brother Anthony, obviously, to hopefully, Lord willing, become the pastor of that church. The idea behind that is at the third anniversary, the third year anniversary, which is in March, that Lord willing, if that church were to accept him, that he would be ordained as the pastor of Crown Baptist Church there in Port Macquarie. In order to make that happen, you know, obviously they have to move to the area. And obviously we know that they've got a family there in Kempsey, so not too far away. They have received a pre-approval from the bank to buy a house. And he's made an offer which has been accepted by the seller. So everything looks like it's moving along, and maybe too smoothly. And I don't like when things move along too smoothly, because that's when the devil comes along and likes to mess things up. So please keep all of that in prayer. We would love to see Crown Baptist Church be strong, a light to that community. And it's kind of bittersweet to think that we'd be losing Anthony and his family. But, you know, we need to further, you know, the work of God and his kingdom in other places, in Australia and in the world. So please be praying for that. All right. I don't think I have anything else to say. So let's just close the service in a word of prayer. I'm going to invite Brother Michael, if you don't mind. Be good to hear you pray from this church. Okay, thank you, brother.
Dear loving Father in heaven, what a beautiful privilege it has been to be with our brethren here. We thank you so much for the souls you've given to us yesterday and the preaching today. Just pray, Father in heaven, that we would truly be your friend, that we would be friend to Jesus, and that, Father, we would not just go through the motions, that we would be closer to you than ever before. Mm. Praise you so much for the 7 years of this amazing church. Thank you, Father, for Pastor Kevin, for his family, for his sacrifice, and pray that he would give us many, many more days and years and to come, when we would be fruitful to you and friends to you as well. In the beautiful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Before you're dismissed, I'm just thinking, maybe it's worthwhile to get a